listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
Yo, yo. Hey, yo. There's two ways. Into the hood. One plain. The other smoking chronic like straight to the brain. Hey, yo, let's get loose. Hennessy straight. Little tomato juice. Queen stallion. My gun's fully Italian. Now y'all niggas recognize Italians. I play the best hood at OT with Tim Westwood. Used to be on Section 8. Now my section is good. Thugged out, niggas. We eat as much as we could. And I don't give a fuck what. You will say my shit. I don't give a fuck what. Yo, you say real shit. Y'all niggas like extra skin on my dick. Listen to Bob Marley. Y'all funny niggas like Steve Harvey. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on a Saturday morning, and it appears, Karen, that that is a joke, I believe, but someone on Twitter, both, I saw both do it first, but I guess someone posted as a joke an excerpt from Ben Carson's book, Gifted Hands.
That's
he also has a movie about his gifted hands that used to come on HBO.
Okay.
But I just got a kick out of this. It's not true, I don't believe, but it's just so funny. It says, as we began to set up camp for the night, one of my classmates yelled in terror and pointed directly behind me. Standing just a few yards from our group was a gigantic and angry grizzly bear, nearly 10 feet tall and on its hind legs and waving paws that looked like they could take a man's head clean off. Everyone in our group screamed in terror before turning to run. Everyone except me. Caution, you've got to get out of here, pled my camp counselor. Think of your gifted hands, TM. The trademark is really in there. But I wasn't afraid. This isn't an animal, I thought. And animals have, this is an animal, I thought. And animals have brains.
Ah!
I began to slowly I began to walk slowly towards the grizzly, holding out my hand and maintaining direct eye contact. The bear's ferocious demeanor gave way first to uncertainty, and then as I placed my hand directly on its head, an appearance of complete tranquility. Friend bear, I said, gazing directly into the animal's eyes. Friend Ben, came the response, not spoken but felt. That's the excerpt. I don't even, I was like, just the fact that people think it might be true is enough to say how much of a joke that dude's campaign is,
right? Because he said the most stupid shit.
Like, I don't think it's real, but it's so funny. I can see him saying that lie.
Right.
Oh, God, this nigga be lying.
You lied about the church's organization. I mean, the Popeyes organization.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I think you want him over there by the register. Anyway, I don't want any meat. I'm just in Popeyes to hang out.
What a dirty rice.
Right. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport.
Bullet ball.
The Bullet Ball Extreme. And today is a feedback episode. And it's brought to listeners just like, it's brought to you by listeners just like you.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. People that sponsor the show, people that, you know, donate to the show, people that, you know, obviously premium listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So many people that make this job the best job in the world and that love helping us out and love hearing what we have to say every week and giving their feedback. It's awesome. And you guys surround us with so much joy and love. I feel like we are the best fans in the world. So, we do need to give everybody props, of course. Feedback, it can be put in many ways. You can leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes or Stitcher. We read them on the show. It's dope. You know, if we like them, we read them. You can also email us, theblackoutist@gmail.com. You can leave comments on our website, theblackoutist.com. And you can vote in the polls on the website and leave comments there as well. All right, and then we'll shout out the people who actually did take the time out to donate real quick.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day.
That's right. It's a new day. And we got this new money. Terry W, recurring donator. Thank you very much, Terry.
Thank you.
Damian Jackson, who I am for real, recurring donator. Portia S, recurring donator. Thank you very much, Portia. That might be new. I'm not sure.
I don't have heard that before.
Jason F, recurring donator. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Chet F, recurring donator. Thank you, Chet.
Yes.
Gerard L, recurring donator.
Thank you.
Calvin N, recurring donator.
Thank you, Calvin. Hooking us up. Take care of McDonald's.
Good luck with the McDonald's. Terry M, recurring donator.
Thank you.
Tawana J, recurring donator.
Mm-hmm, sweetie.
All these recurring donators. I mean, we'll be seeing them next month. Cedric the Entertainer. Thank you very much. Linwood C, thank you very much. Linwood.
Thank you.
Gabriel L, recurring donator.
Yes.
Natasha T, recurring donator, and she's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the new members class. All
right.
Michael F, recurring donator. AA Market Consultant, also recurring donator. And that is it for this week. But that was a lot of people. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, everybody.
But there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds. Dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, but
today's a new day. But tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
The truth is,
I almost gave up, but I'm powerless. Can't explain.
The Holy Ghost power, y'all.
All right.
Fell to just like a shower and dun.
You know, I like that little song.
I know. I can't believe I randomly picked that. All right. 5-star reviews on iTunes. Let's read them. The first one is from Sharif, and it says, I agree with Karen. Crumb snatchers aren't for everyone. 5 stars. I heard about this show from Keith and the Girl podcast, a BuzzFeed article, and have been listening to this show since May. This husband and wife team challenges you to think outside of your preconceived notions on such topics such as race, gender, sex, age, etc. The show is basically all of your social sciences electives rolled into one a few hours a day. Now that I think of it, I wish there was a TVGWT university where university president Rod and dean of students Karen would run cost-effective programs like Day Walking 101, How Not to Be a Bigot 204, and last but not least, Guess the Race Hotep Edition 501. Also, I feel like Karen would double as a Spanish professor, as her road R's are everything. Yeah, they're not in any of the places where Spanish people put them either.
No.
Anywho, I hope to see them both in the spring semester, where I will be furthering my MA in love and marriage with emphasis in battle royale. Thank you very much, Sharif. We appreciate it. And of course, shout out to Keith and the girl doing big things over there, touring,
right?
Marathon,
yes.
Woo! They're some hardworking people, man.
Ah, Cliff.
People always say, well, why do I say they're the best podcast? The motherfuckers don't never take time.
Right.
To
they
just
did a
chill.
10-city tour in 10 days. They literally traveled across the country.
And they already doing a marathon.
Right.
Already,
right behind
hours.
It. Right.
But, yeah, man, that's the motto right there. Yeah, we thank you for listening and, checking us out and sticking with us since May. I love you guys. This is by Blue Stars 3893. Karen, you've been getting on me to lead this review, and now that I have downtime from school, here it is.
Thank you.
Rod and Karen are one of the best podcasts I have in my rotation because I hate looking at the news. I turn to you guys to provide me the news of the day, plus some hilarious jokes that the stiff newscasters would never give me. I started listening over a year ago, but actually found a podcast about 2 years ago. When I first saw the title, I thought it would be on that Don Lemon steez.
A lot of people think that.
Whenever you, hey, this is Ryan and Karen, and what's going on with you niggers? But
yes,
I gave
we're
it.
We're here to tell you that none of you niggers are shit, and
yeah,
we're also here to tell you that you should vote Republican.
What's more offensive? Negroes not tipping their slavery. We'll be right back. But I gave it a listen and fell in love. I appreciate all your commentary, even on things I don't agree with, which is very few, because it gives me another perspective and may also shift how I think about things. Keep doing what you're doing, and as soon as I graduate, get me a job, I'll be upgrading to premium status. Hey,
thank you, sweetie.
At Faloose underscore Brown says, unbelievable, 5 stars, just giving you guys your weekly 5-star, but I might bump it up to daily because of the podcast I see ahead of you. We got to do better, TBGWT Nation. Well, thank you for that review.
Thank you.
Rad and Kern from Will Be Smoking.
That name.
My girlfriend turned me onto this podcast, first podcast I've ever listened to, and I have never looked back. I have never enjoyed being toyed with by mainstream news, and this is a great way for me to catch up on current events while busting the gut. Guests are always entertaining and segments are to die for. Yeah, I was talking about this the other day on Twitter, man. Like, hey man, support the people that support you, because that I listen to podcasts myself because I don't like turning on MSNBC to hear some slanted view that they're just looking at me as another statistic. Right. You know, no real emphasis on the humanity of black people, but all about bringing two people on to argue with my humanity. Like, I don't like that shit.
Me either. And it is infuriating and it makes you mad.
Yeah. You know, turn on CNN, they bring on like a police officer that blames every black person for getting beat up. You know, like, why does that guy have a job and why do you employ him and why do you call him?
Right.
You don't care.
No.
So I would rather listen to people that care. I don't need to be fucked with every day of my life. Thomas from Baltimore said, greatest podcast team ever, 5 stars. This podcast is one of the funniest and most thoughtful podcasts you will ever listen to. The best team I found in podcasts of any genre. All love. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. That's a high praise. Mm-hmm. A perfect blend of reason and ratchet. One of the greatest podcasts out here, period, says Serious Moonlight Roz. I listen to TBGWT on Stitcher, but it wouldn't let me leave a review there. So I'll just do it here on iTunes. I first discovered Ryder Karen through another awesome podcast, This Week in Blackness. Twib, shout out. Rod and Karen provide hilarious and insightful commentary on various subjects from nerd culture to current events. They have also introduced me to a lot of other great podcasts through their guest co-hosts. The recap shows for Game of Thrones, The Walking Dead, and Fear the Walking Dead are by far the best I've ever heard. In fact, I am now an avid Game of Thrones fan because of the Blackout Tips. Listening to TBGWT has become one of the highlights of my day. Take a listen and I'll bet you'll feel the same way. Wow.
Thank you. Yeah, we love Elon and all that, the crew over there.
Yeah, that was some good ass reviews.
High praise. Thank you, everybody.
And then Stitcher, we got 2 new reviews. You know, these take a little longer to post. Fifi LaRue says 5 stars, simply the best. I love, love, love your show. It keeps me alive and alert while I slave for the man. You work for Tiger Woods? Oh. That's a little inside baseball there. I found you through Blacking It Up when it was called that. Oh, you've been listening for a while.
Yes, you have.
And I've been an avid listener ever since then. Karen, I love you for riding out for women and not standing for nonsense. You even got my man agreeing with you, which I can't even get to happen, and I have sex with him.
Oh, Lord.
Please hug a baby. It is very calming. Smiley face.
No.
As long as you don't get peed on. Rod, please give a seminar on how to be a good, reasonable man. We need it. Again, I love y'all. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Fifi LaRue.
Thank you, sweetie.
Cold Bear. I think this is the person that Ben Carson fought. 5 stars says, simply awesome. Hey, Rod and Karen, I started listening to you guys around episode 1000 and have kept up with a steady diet of your witty commentary ever since. I just wanted to thank you both for what you do. You're a breath of fresh air during the stormy, turbulent year. Well, thank you, man. I know podcasts have helped me through some tough times as well.
Yes.
And, you know, I never can repay all the stuff that people just were able to get my mind off of stuff.
That's true. And because we were podcast fans, podcast fans before we became podcasters, we understand how it is to love something and support the people and then have them no longer there. Because, you know, we've listened to podcasts for years and some of my favorite podcasts no longer exist for various different reasons. But it's just one of those things where, you know, you love, you support, you see feedback, you know, just let them know that somebody's listening. Because especially when you first start, you feel like you're talking into a black hole. So I want everybody to continue to Send us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher, because that stuff matters. It goes up in the rankings. To leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, go to any Apple device, type in the Black Guy Who Tips up in the top left-hand corner, type in, it said write a review, write 5 stars, and you can leave us anything there. If you do not have an Apple or iOS device, actually put iTunes on your computer, leave us a review, and then you can take iTunes down. It doesn't leave you a virus or anything like that. If you want to leave us a 5-star review on Stitcher, the easiest way to do it is to Google the Black Guy Who Tips Stitcher page, and it'll actually take you to the link to leave a 5 stars. If you have an iOS device, it allows you to leave comments per episode, but those don't show up on the page, guys. So I want to tell everybody thank you in advance, because I know some of you out there, I know you ain't left a review yet. I know you ain't. I see you.
Y'all better get on it. You know she don't play.
I see y'all there.
1063 White Acquaintances was our feedback show. And the poll, we didn't get any comments on the poll, but I'll just say it right now instead of before I read the other comments. Did you dress up for Halloween? Nah. Yes, I sure did. 81.67% of our audience did not dress up for Halloween. Which means 18% of you guys did dress up. And I did see some of y'all in the Facebook group looking good, dressed up, in costumes.
Y'all had a good time.
Yeah, man. Got some good stuff going on there. Thread about bras. It was titties everywhere.
Yes, it was. For those of you who are like, what, I want to see titties too, you can log on to Facebook on your Facebook page. Type the Black Guy Who Tips in the search column, and 2 pages will pop up. One is the regular fan page, and one is the closed group. That's the one you select, and then we have to approve you to get into the group, guys.
Yeah, and, you know, we don't approve everybody to post, and if, you know, we don't approve spammers, and, you know, obviously if you do some fuck shit, then you're out of the group. Nate Heavens writes, yo, so I've emailed before, ex-Bernie supporter, but this is my first comment. Wanted to comment on the intelligence thing, if that's okay. So I actually consider myself to be very socially unintelligent. Oh, because we were getting into the thing where people were like, do you find intelligence sexy and you want to date intelligent people? And I think it might even be intelligent women. I can't remember.
We was focused on women. Yeah.
But because I was like, of course the poll came back. It's like, we love intelligent women. And I was like, yeah, I think everybody says that. Right. I don't think it's true.
Right. You love intelligent women until you meet an intelligent woman.
Yeah. I think people just don't like smart people in general, but it's cool. So he says, I actually consider myself to be very socially unintelligent, but part of that is because I have major social phobia, anxiety in general, and I'm just socially horrible. I miss basically every social cue, and it often takes me a while to catch up. I also have major issues doing very basic tasks and with basic pattern recognition. I like to say that my mind's like a lazy Susan. Give it time and it'll come around eventually. So I can come off as very oblivious and basically stupid. Man, I wonder where the term lazy Susan came from. Like
somebody named Susan, I guarantee you.
I think it was like I bet it was a slave that was just like, man, I'm not doing no more white people work today. And then they just said, don't be a lazy Susan after that. And then they made that lazy Susan table thing. And they just start calling it calling after that slave. Anyway, I just made that all up. I don't know what happened.
That's my assumption.
I don't know what to say. I can't even bother to Google it. So I can come off as very oblivious and basically stupid. It's not on purpose. It's just that my brain just doesn't work very well socially. On top of that, I exhibit symptoms of ADHD and OCD. I'm 28, but I haven't been diagnosed officially with anything because at the moment I don't have a psychiatrist. The last psychiatrist I did try was a right-wing evangelical Christian. My dad's Jewish clergy and I'm an atheist. So you can imagine how that worked out.
Oh, not very well.
I'm sure you were very flippant. On the other hand, though I have a bachelor's in anthropology and I'm going for my master's and PhD because I want to try and understand the origins of fanaticism, and more generally I'm basically a science proselytizer. Okay. In fact, if I had any math skills to speak of, I'd need a calculator to figure out 1 + 1 = 11 ? I'd likely have gone into theoretical physics or cosmology or astrophysics or something like that, just because that stuff fascinates me so much. Neil deGrasse Tyson is one of my heroes, and I love talking about it all. Get me started on the concept of infinity or multiple universes, and I could talk for days, and I'm the same with evolution as well. I think the concept of intelligence is very, and I mean, when we consider someone just stupid, especially when they come off that way socially, it's possible that they may, that may be a symptom of something. So I'm not 100% sure what I'm trying to say. Neither are we. Maybe just a different perspective. That seemingly stupid person may not actually be stupid, but socially phobic or otherwise unable to notice social cues. As for the discussion that prompted this, the last woman I was attracted to was, well, still is, a theoretical physicist. One of her PhD teachers was Stephen Hawking, but she lives in England. Anyway, sorry, that's long. Always loving the show. Yeah, that was a lot, Nate.
Thank you. I think basically he was saying when it comes to intelligence, he was, but this
particular, some people seem stupid even though they're smart. Right. I think that's what he was trying to say.
Right. And but their intelligence was like, hey, they took a test, they're very smart and stuff like that. And dudes was like, yay. And then it was like, well, she outscored you in the test. It was like, no.
Yeah, I think he took the long winding path to get there, but I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got episode 1064, Can't Stop Won't Stop, with the homie Mike Brown. You know, he has his new weekly web series. Mm-hmm. Can't Stop Won't Stop.
Yep, another one came, I think it's three.
Yep, it's up to the third now. The Tickler says, my nephew tells me that trap is an acronym for take risk and prosper, and if that's true, any manner of fuckery could be considered trapping, because he couldn't decide when did trapping start meaning prostituting.
Oh, okay.
EVE says, even though Zola's stories had some embellishments, I think her story is closer to the truth. I do believe she was trapping too, but if that's a movie, I'm going to be in line opening weekend. All right. I'm telling y'all now, this shit seemed cool until it's as brought to you by Twitter starring Tyrese and fucking...
Ah, yeah! Tyler Berry.
Right. What, and the girl from 227 or something. I don't know. I just can't picture it being taken seriously. BET home movies.
Right. Straight to Netflix.
Do you believe cheating is in our DNA? Yes, it's all genetic, baby. No, it's a choice you make. 85% of our audience says it's a choice. 15% said it's in the genes, baby. And I'm gonna be in them jeans later.
Apparently so, and you're gonna be in mine.
Black Gay Theist Pilot says, I feel I should qualify my answer. I said, yes, it's genetic, but I don't mean we are all horn dogs who can't control our impulses. Our biology pushes us to overeat high energy foods like sugar because our ancestors didn't know when the next meal was coming, and we are pushed to procreate. Our biology may push us to fuck every viable partner in sight, but our culture helps to tamp those impulses down. I work with a lot of straight dudes. I know for a fact that at least a third of them have, if not full on had sex with someone other than their wife. They've engaged in inappropriate behavior with someone outside their marriage. I don't know. Maybe they're just shitbags and they might try to use biology as justification. Yeah, I'm more prone to the latter. And in the poll on the show, the study we were talking about was saying it's just genetic, like not even on some like, everybody has this. It wasn't like that. It was right. Saying like some people are more prone to cheat because of their genes.
Right.
Like they, like you got them cheating genes. And so you can't help it. Right, so I think it was a little bit different point they were making. That ain't love. This is just me and Karen talking about Halloween, Native American culture, Chipotle, Hillary getting interrupted by Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, they think they slick. They had some Democratic debate on the fucking Friday night. Who the fuck was gonna watch that?
It was like Democratic roundtable or something.
Right, I was like, yeah, y'all doing a Friday night because y'all knew nobody give a shit because it's the weekend.
Yeah, or you can make the argument it's the day that nothing else was on.
True too.
Either way, I ain't watch it.
Mm-mm.
You know, good luck to Bernie, man, but he got screwed on that one. He need to get as many eyes as possible on his shit, and Friday night is not the look. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that shit was on until the last minute.
Correct. That's why I would say y'all didn't push it, y'all didn't promote it, that shit wasn't plastered everywhere. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
That's almost like how they do the TV shows. They trying to kill. Moving to Friday nights.
Yeah, Hillary is killing it. Well, she got, you know, bailed out on that one. Leslie Mack left a comment. She said, thanks, Rod and Karen, for raising the issue of the lack of humanity afforded to incarcerated and formerly incarcerated folks. It has been a big issue for me for years as I started my personal activism work lobbying and campaigning for bail and parole reform in New Jersey. Doing that work, I learned quickly that most people take humanity out of the equation when it comes to incarcerated folks. I had an aha moment courtesy of a psychologist friend of mine who was frequent frequently asked in court, what does XYZ's criminal record say about them? His standard reply, nothing. It tells me nothing about them. The rate of the circumstances at which people of color are incarcerated makes that data useless. It really struck me. It is meaningless data. A corrupt, broken, and racially unjust criminal system, criminal justice system makes it meaningless. Yet society continues to apply the same old assumptions to those who are or have been in prison. Anyway, thanks again for continuing to bring up the need for compassion and humanity for people in jail and coming out of jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that means a lot to me. That's why I'm very, very concerned personally about a lot of the people that are getting released, because I was like, where are they gonna go? Where are these programs? How are they gonna get them back into society? Are they gonna work? Like those are the questions that I ask, because it's wonderful that these people are getting out, but do they have a proper support system? Is their family gonna be there? Can their family help? Like, though, that's real shit. Getting people out, that's half the battle. It's keeping them out that's the issue, because like you said before, we are not about rehabilitation, and we are not about trying to get people back into society.
Yeah. Val C says, hey, Rod and Karen, nice to hear you guys talk about Native Americans this episode. It's so rare to hear people talk about Natives. Anytime someone does, I feel like someone's talking about me. It's weird for me to use the term Native American, because I always just say Indian, though I appreciate that Rod explained that as a misnomer on another episode. I guess I'm just too much of a Rez, which means stands for Reservation Indian, for that, Rez Indian for that. I'm an American Indian Studies major, so I know a lot of Indian academics, and I feel like it's kind of white of them to be all Native American Indians and American Indian Natives. I'm like, no, they messed up, and I want to put it in their faces. And I'm red till I'm dead. I'm a red till I'm dead reservation Indian. As far as food and restaurants go, do you know all the questions you would get all day from white tourists? Like, what did you guys eat for Christmas before the settlers came?
Oh, you serious?
There was no such thing as Christmas. Or, are you guys gonna pray over our sacred leftovers? Nah, just tip the waitress. Some Native Americans would probably see it as a learning moment, but I'm not here for that mess. On another note, I never heard that Go Forth My Son or whatever song, but being a bad Indian, I happen to like those kind of songs in a way. Besides powwow music, the only songs I know about Indians are those weird stereotype songs.
Right.
My favorite of all time, though, has to be Running Bear by John Preston. It's a guilty pleasure, a terrible secret, because not only does the music turn strangely sexy during the chorus, but Running Bear happens to be one of my friends' last names. Anyway, I've listened to hundreds of hours of you guys, and this is my favorite podcast, and the only reason I will keep my Facebook account activated during the election season is the Facebook group. I feel you guys have curated a great group of people, and I'm glad that I found you guys. Love y'all, Val C. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetie. Yeah, I really enjoy the Facebook group. They're very interactive, they're very positive. It's a very open group. They help each other get through a lot of things and situations. I might not comment, I might not say a lot, but I see the community that is built, and if you're not in the group, you may want to join, because it's very, very helpful, because it's a very positive place compared to what you normally see on people's Facebook feeds.
Yeah, and that Go My Son, I wasn't saying it's a bad song or people shouldn't be proud of it. I mean, it was written by Native Americans, like younger Native Americans at the time, in college. So I don't think it's anything to be ashamed of. I was saying it's fucked up that white person was singing that to, you know, to a person that was Native American on Halloween, like, you know, like, hey, look at this joke. It's like, what, this joke of my culture, motherfucker?
Right, this is not funny.
Buddy Love says, can you imagine the level of customer service you'll get from a laid off employee working for free? I have days that I don't want to do shit, and I'm still getting paid.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, because that bank wanted, it's people that got laid off to sign a contract where they would work for 2 years and be on call for free.
No, sir, kiss my ass. That be money I don't get.
Well, yeah, but also, like they said, you know, Buddy Love said, what level of service will you get from a motherfucker working for free? The customer service already sucks.
Right, and the people getting paid, so yeah. if they're doing it for free, oh, you ain't getting no questions answered. Like, it's gonna be the bare minimal. You're gonna be like, be glad I showed up, motherfucker.
The poll was, do you care what's in your hot dog? Because we read an article that said, hey, That ain't the right shit in your hot dog. Vegetarian hot dogs got meat in it and shit.
Yeah.
Do you care what's in your hot dog? Yes, 74%. 26% say no. Leslie Mack says, let's be real. If I'm eating a hot dog, I've already thrown in the towel with being concerned about what I'm eating.
Ain't that the truth?
Academic says, man, the hot dogs had human in them. That's got to be a bare minimum of standards. No people meat. Hot dogs are made of people. They're made of people. Also, Muslim and Hindus and vegetarians, not to mention people with allergies, have no choice but to trust labeling or not eat hot dogs at all, which is a pretty smart move anyway. Yeah. Yep. Hot dogs don't play. We had JL on the show for episode 1066, David's Justice. I like that title. We got a lot of comments, 5 comments on this one. Let's see what everybody had to say. Rogers Trey says, JL is the best. Y'all need to have him on more. He's got jokes, impressions, basically has it all. EVE says, David Justice was dead wrong for how he came for Holly. It's not that I'm blindly supporting her because I don't know what happened between the two of them, but you have to question the timing of him deciding to suddenly want to clear his name. They've been divorced for nearly 20 years and now he wants to kick her while she's down. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. Him and Eric Benet need to both have several seats. JL was a guest on the first episode of TBGWT I ever listened to, so it'll always be a treat when you have him on.
Oh, we love JL.
Hey, I'll just say this. The timing is the timing. I ain't saying that he's right for his timing. David Justice clearly picked the pettiest fucking time to come forward on purpose.
Of course.
Now, which of y'all is going to raise y'all hands and say y'all ain't never been petty towards an ex? I'll wait. But he's absolutely right about one thing. Most of us did think David Justice was the ex who beat her. And he's been sitting on that shit for 20 years and his kids are older now. And so who knows how it's affecting their real life, you know? And they, you know, I'm sure his kids would be like, even if you privately said, listen, I never hit that woman. Y'all know how I'm with your mom. I'm not like that, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure his kids will still be like, yeah, but why don't you tell anybody that?
Yeah, publicly.
Yeah. I mean, now there's also the other alternative. He could be lying. He could have hit her and just be lying. We'll see. You know, but she's, I think, since been interviewed since his comments and hadn't said anything. So I don't know. AC says, Rob, when you mentioned that hating ass Terrell Jones clapped back with a response, I was prepared to go gather a coalition of the willing to roll to Temecula to find him for crossing the line for the last time. I had already determined beforehand that whatever hateful retort he spewed would not be funny this time because how dare he? I had your back. But I was derailed by Karen. Karen didn't even attempt to hold back any laughter. I briefly fought to hold back any potential chuckles in solidarity with you, but Karen was no help at all. I had to go back and watch it again to make sure I wasn't mistaken. And there was Karen, your life partner, podcast co-host, and wind beneath your wings, laughing so hard she had to cover her face with both hands. It was like getting dunked on in a game, only to turn around to your bench and see your own teammates acting like the crowd on the old N1 mixtapes. So yeah, I ended up losing control and falling out of my chair laughing, but blame that on Karen. I was ready to ride on Terrell to defend you. Well, thank HC. I don't need any defending. I wasn't. I mean, I knew what I was getting into when I took on one of the biggest haters in the game.
We know what kind of sparring match that was going
to
be.
Yeah, I'm not even trying to really go back and forth with him about it. Like, I was just like, okay, like, I guess I apparently am dick sucking Applejack eating Doritos motherfucker then. If Tayden as Terrell Jones says it, then it must be true,
right?
Although if people that follow me on Twitter probably they may already know this, but and then people on Facebook that are my friends may know it too, but I went out and bought some Doritos and some Applejacks.
Yes.
And then I took a selfie with him and I changed it to my Twitter avatar and my Facebook avatar. But what they don't know So I also changed it to my Baller Alert avatar.
Oh no, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
And the Doritos were delicious. I ate the shit out of them.
And then I went and saw what he said, and I respond, because he said, "At Rod, you fat face ass nigga." I mean, "At Rod, you fat face ass nigga. I dare you to talk shit to a real nigga looking like you suck dick for Doritos and Apple Jacks. At Liv, we all know your mop bucket head." Hold on, it moved. Damn it. Yeah, "Fly trap face ass is fucking for Newport 100s, so stop it. I wish you niggas would stop trolling and get jobs, you funky bastards." So I replied with my avatar, the new one, and said, "Well, you certainly put me in my place."
What did he say?
And he said, "At Rod, you dirty motherfucker. Only thing you missing is a dick in your mouth. I bow down to you, sir. You are the ultimate fucking troll." well played, Terrell.
Touche.
So yeah, AC, I wasn't worried about it. If y'all knew how much shit I take in stride, because what we do, man, is, listen, we are some of the best in the game at what we do. Not everybody's gonna like us. There's a lot of insecure people out there. There's a lot of people that, you know, have opinions on our opinions and all this shit about us. But it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But you get used to, you know, certain shit. And just not everybody's gonna fuck with you. So, hating that's Terrell Jones, I'm okay. You know, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have said nothing to him expecting him to not say something back. I think it was actually kind of cool that he said something.
Right.
With his hating ass. Serious Moonlight says, "Hating ass Terrell Jones shot fired. I was looking forward to his response and it did not disappoint. Mm-mm. It was as glorious and ignorant as I hoped for. When he wrote that you look like you, quote, suck dick for Doritos and Apple Jacks, I actually had to cover my mouth to stop from laughing out loud like a fool at work. Doritos and Apple Jacks? What kind of romper room fuckery insult is that?" Karen's great laugh was the perfect response. Y'all had me in tears and rolling at my desk. Later, I check Twitter and I see Rod's new Twitter pic and start laughing my ass out all over again. Well played, sir. Well played. Rod and Karen, you guys are fabulous and your podcast is pure greatness. Keep up the great work. Wishing you both continued success. Serious Moonlight, aka Rosalind. Thank you, Rosalind.
Thank you, sweetie.
And last one, comment_haver says, "That principal at that Christian school is so full of it. Rod's right. This is about control, because Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, walk by the spirit and you will be not gratify the desires of the flesh. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Plus 2 Timothy 1:7 says, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Boom, there you go. Problem solved for the Christian school. I would hope that someone who works at a Christian school, Jewish school, Muslim school, or the like would wholeheartedly believe that school is supposed to be about. Well, yeah, I mean, but then you gotta add in that misogyny though. Dogs ain't like, some of that shit people bring there with them and then they look to the school or church or whatever to justify their opinion. So it's like, how do we get these little girls to cover up? That's what they worried about.
Come up them titties and ass.
He's noticed he ain't quote no scripture when he came up with his rules. Mm-mm, although I'm sure he could have found some. Yeah, I'm sure he could have found some. With no pants in church, in church scripture or some shit. I don't know. It's always something, right?
Something.
Women shall bow to the man or some bullshit. It's like, nigga, I can't wear forehead. Yeah, I can't wear shorts. Yeah, no!
Like he gonna get up to him, but I did you come up? Mm-mm. Off to hell. To hell you go.
Shorts ain't nothing but the devil's britches.
Right.
Should students dress age appropriately at school? Absolutely, but it should be expected across the board. Also, JL is a fantastic guest. Yeah, you know, it's weird because I think JL, when he comes on, represents certain people's points of view that sometimes we don't get to hear on the show.
True.
But I feel like it's always done respectfully. And it's never completely unreasonable, which I know some people can't stand them and some people love them,
Cause he's just polarizing like that.
Yeah, but I love that dude. I think he's hilarious.
I do too.
I think he's a religious person, but a person that I don't find to have offensive religious beliefs, and like a lot of people that are religious. So I don't want to just, be like, you can't come on our show or shit, cause some niggas disagree with some of the stuff he says. Do you think David Justice is telling the truth? Yes, but he's petty. No, he's lying and still petty. 81% There is literally no defense about his pettiness. I don't think there's any. He was high-fiving the dude that had to go to cheating rehab on Twitter. It's like people, I know there's a lot of men that are going to be on some like gender war shit. Like, no, it's okay because if a woman did it, and I wouldn't have approved, I would have thought it was still petty if a woman did it. But I also would have been like, I get it. Sometimes you got to be petty. Can't always be our higher selves. And, I think his shit was petty. But anyway, 81% of people said, yes, they believe he's telling the truth that he didn't hit her and shit. But this is also petty.
Mm-hmm.
And that means 19% said I don't believe him, and this nigga is petty. I mean, the petty's not debatable. No comments on that one.
Mm-mm.
And the last episode was 1067 Reverse Magical Negro. We had Chris from Movie Trailer Reviews, and we did our Walking Dead recap, which was mostly it. We did one guest race and wrapped it up with some sort of ratchetness. Here are the comments. EVE says, I'm kind of hoping that Wolf kills Morgan. I'd miss Lenny James as an actor, but it feels like Morgan ate that defective chicken from Undercover Brother, and now he's on this All Lives Matter kick. Boy, bye. Yeah. It's not that all lives matter. All lives are precious, Rick. Hiroja Shab says, hating ass Rod and his hating ass ways. Had a nice hating ass brigade of hate against hashtag American Ninja Morgan. Everybody hate Morgan. Don't try to put it on me. Now, how is that hating working out for you now, Rod? It's working fine. Still think his actions are stupid. I understand how he arrived to this conclusion, which is why the episode was so good.
Mm-hmm.
It made me go, oh,
this makes sense.
Okay. But then I'm like, it's still gonna get some people killed. Look, man, Morgan is just a simple man trying to recover from being a PTSD Terminator killing zombie mofo and found peace with some white dude who wanted to make cheese. What is there to hate now, Rod? Side note about that white dude. Are we sure he is really white? Because I thought one of the prerequisites in being white is not only loving cheese, but knowing how to make it. So you can have all those fondue parties every white person thinks they're the first person to ever throw together, but they're not. No, that is not you don't have to be able to make cheese to be white. Come on. That's like saying you have to be able to fry chicken to be a black person. No, you just have to love eating it.
Yeah, some black folks can't fry chicken.
I don't know how to fry chicken.
Well, but I can teach you. It's not hard.
I don't want to learn. I'm good.
Why not?
There's not a fried chicken deficiency out here in the world. I can find some fried chicken, everybody. I'm down here in the South.
Oh, but then you mean you wouldn't have to fry another piece of chicken a goddamn day of your life. Fried chicken, shit, everything's fried. You can find it.
Yeah, so no, that's like, no, and white people don't have to know how to make cheese from scratch. Nigga, you gotta make cheese from scratch. Also, he learned, so that's not fair. He learned how to make that cheese by the end. They was eating some. Man, talk about having a difficult time being the only person of color friend to a white person. In the early aughts, for some strange reason, that was a thing. It's, in all seriousness, I think Rick is either going to kill Morgan or kick him out of Alexandria for letting the wolves live, especially that one wolf Morgan was telling the story to in the episode. Have a great Saturday, y'all. Yeah, if Rick walks in there and finds a fucking wolf, woo!
Oh, he gonna kill him.
Buddy_love says, I have a couple of things. Morgan is like the guy who converted to Nation of Islam on the inside, then gets out and goes harder than Farrakhan every time you talk to him. Or your coworker who just went vegan and wants to preach to the whole department about what you're doing wrong with your diets. On the Talking Dead, they said the guy who played Donatello in the first Ninja Turtles movie trained the actors on how to use the bow staff. So technically, everybody making jokes about Morgan studying under Ninja Turtle was right. Lastly, I'd like to know what your Z-Pac plan would be. I grab my boys to try to take over Walmart.
Like everybody else.
Yeah, I'm just gonna die. I ain't worried about it.
Me either. I know I'm not gonna live long. Like, yeah. I ain't made for that life.
Bamil 273 says, I hope Morgan lives. I think he will find a balance between saving everybody and killing everybody. Well, he realizes that white magical Negro Miyagi was batshit and hasn't seen that the world has devolved into baby rapists, crazy killers, and gourmet chefs with a taste for people. He may readjust his worldview. And the poll was a simple one. Will Morgan die this season on The Walking Dead? Yes, he's a goner. No, he'll make it.
I think
very close. What'd you say, Karen?
Even though he's been fucking up, I don't know about next season, mm-hmm. but I think he'll make it through this season.
58% of people think he's going to die.
That's understandable, too.
41% says, 42%, I guess, he will make it. So we'll see. We will see. We had one voicemail, and it's from that. This is so funny to me, man. It's from the same dude that keeps calling from the undisclosed number. And say it with the fake name. And he was calling like, this is about the Black Lives Matter. Then last week it was, this is about, women should have guns because of rape culture. You know, just like he's some kind of weirdo. You have to hear this. I laugh when I heard it. I want everybody to hear it. I don't give a fuck. I laugh so hard this morning at this weirdo.
Yeah, Rod, this is, Michael. Yeah. Calling about the episode of Mike Brown. The guy who does the web series Can't Stop, Won't Stop. Okay. Yeah. In my opinion, people like Mike Brown and you are the reason why masculinity is dying off. You guys are very fluid gender. And all I have to say is fuck your fluidity. I know you won't play this. You're a coward. Just like you didn't play those other messages I had that weren't aggressive, but because he's the type of dude that can't stand people that logically disagree with you.
Oh, is that what this is?
This message is ignorant, but my previous three messages were very logical. So, fuck your fluidity and keep pushing the gay agenda.
Well, we will, baby. We gonna keep pushing the gay agenda.
We're gonna keep pushing the gay agenda.
Yes, we is. Hey, let me get my flashlight. Hey.
Get this Noel.
Let's remember with Tony Okumboa and JoJo Flores.
How does it feel, Mike? To know you ain't going nowhere, nigga. You been calling me for weeks trying to get my attention, baby.
So I'm gonna call you.
Something, baby. lay that good loving on me. Me, baby. Come on now, do you wanna fall? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna fall, let me show you how. Do you wanna fall with me? Do you wanna fall with me? Oh, we gonna push the gay agenda, my nigga. It's gonna be gay up in this bitch.
Yeah, mess around. We go get some big Frida onions, show you how to really do it.
Also, I ain't got no insecurity about my masculinity, my nigga. I'm good. Does it hurt that I'm good? Mike Brown? Why you gonna call Mike Brown? Why you gonna try to get on Mike for?
Right.
You listen to us every week so you can call in on our line from an anonymous number with a fake name, and you call somebody a coward? Okay, I'm a coward. Okay, buddy. Oh my god, it's not like you fucking sell staplers. Oh my god. Oh man, this is the best job in the world.
Ain't it though?
Every day I get up, I'm living my dream, taking shits in my own place. Working with the best partner in the world. Who I happen to be married to. And I get sex on the reg, my niggas. I'm winning. I am winning at life. Oh, how does it feel? How does it feel?
I don't know, but I want to go roller skating now.
I know. Anyway, we got.
You made a lot of people happy because they was like, I love that song.
Anyway, we got the email. Fuck your fluidity. Yeah, I say from my block number. Right. You're a coward. My name is Mike. This nigga has to say every week before he says his name. Hey, this is Michael. I am calling about the Black Lives Matter. I was just wondering if like, come on, man. Oh, all right. Anyway, we got some emails. Voicemail line. I mean, the phone line is over 704-557-0186. The emails. Virginia writes in, Native American cuisine. Hi, Karen and Rod. Hello from a fairly new listener in Texas. I was listening to your show for Monday when y'all mentioned Native American cuisine. I also have never come across any places that serve that type of food until I went to DC a couple summers ago and visited the National Museum of the American Indian. They run a cafe dedicated to indigenous food from each region of the Americas. Clearly, this is not indicative of what's available across the country, which is sorely lacking since apparently you can only find this stuff in a museum. I know, doesn't that say a lot about
right.
what happened to Native Americans here?
Right, you can't find it on the street.
It's like,
unless you go to the reservations.
I would like to try some of your indigenous people's food. Oh, you gonna want to go to the Smithsonian.
Oh, right. And they're like, it's on a reservation, but we got laws that say that you can't go in there without certain permissions.
Yeah, we're gonna actually need to take you to the right past the dinosaur exhibit,
because
we killed them.
Right.
But it was something interesting and unique that I was glad to have experienced while I was there. Here's a link to the cafe if you're interested in seeing what types of food they serve. And love your show, especially love Karen's laugh. Hope you enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you. Let's see what else we got. David's Justice. Kimberly writes in to I went on a cussing rant when I heard about David Justice's comments, and I really don't cuss, primarily because the headlines talked about how Holly can't keep a man. Yeah, which is foul. I mean, it's not really on him because he's a petty ex, so he probably is biased, as we all would probably be. But for the media to run with that narrative says a lot about how the media treats this shit when it's a woman. Because when Steve Harvey's ex-wife came out and talked shit about him, nobody was running around asking, like, why can't he keep a wife? That just was not happening.
They glossed the hell over that.
They basically said she's a bitter-ass woman and blah, blah, blah. Articles, Twitter, and Facebook was full of comments about how pretty women are crazy, etc. This annoys the hell out of me. Why is the headline that Holly can't keep a man? Perhaps she just doesn't want them anymore. She's labeled as crazy, especially since these men go on to have other successful relationships. No offense to the men's new mates, but they aren't Holly Berry fabulous. We don't know what they are putting up with. Well, the thing is, honestly, we don't know any of the insights into what is going on between any couple. And a lot of this is because we assume, I think falsely so, it's not a one-to-one correlation, that being together length of time equals success or failure, when I think it's about quality of the relationship.
Oh, true.
So if you have a, you know, if you have a high quality relationship, but circumstances pull you apart within 6 months to a year, why is that somehow a failure when people stay in unhappy marriages for 20 years, sometimes their whole lives, and are miserable?
Yes, they do.
But that's not a failure. That's seen as success because they stayed together. It's a very weird way to judge shit.
Yeah, and it is and you know, that's a failure because you're miserable, your partner's miserable, like it affects your children, your family. A lot of times people know when people don't want to be together.
But it's not considered such. Like, right. When people present that, oh, this, they were together for 20 years, we don't go, yeah, 20 long miserable fucking years. Mm-hmm. We just go, yeah, yeah, good for them. You know, the first advice you give, people give you when somebody fucks up in a marriage. Well, y'all are married, you know, you gotta try to work it out. Think about your children. Think about this. You know, it's very much that leaning that way. And ever since women got the power and the agency to be able to leave, of course the numbers are higher than, but when you could just basically make a woman your slave.
Come on now.
I don't know who those guys went on to marry. I mean, look at Reggie Bush. He didn't marry Kim Kardashian, but he married a woman that looked just like her. So, you know, maybe they all marrying people that look just like Holly, but not famous. Who knows?
You never know.
Holly may feel like she's tired of dealing with the normal man crap that women deal with. I love my husband. I got married 2 weeks shy of my 40th. I was a happy single woman. Sometimes dealing with normal man crap makes me wonder if I'm cut out for marriage. I'm not going anywhere though. We'll see. You doing it too then. But yeah, everybody does this kind of sucks, but I'm gonna stay in it thing. And I think some people don't. And maybe Holly's just one of those people that doesn't, you know?
Yeah, and because society has changed and women have rights now, the same shit that men been doing for years, women can do, but all of a sudden it's a problem. A woman can get divorced, she can leave, she can walk off, and because society thinks that, truth be told, when it comes to relationship and children, all that burden falls onto the woman,
right?
Unnecessarily.
It's like, what did you not do to keep him happy?
Right.
Regardless of any actions that he did.
Right. You didn't suck his dick from behind. You didn't kiss his ass. Whatever it may be, you just didn't do enough. And then a lot of times, once you bring children into the mix, a lot of times the responsibility of the children, almost 90%, falls onto the woman, because society has taught men, you're the breadwinner, so fuck your kids. Even though the kids need the dad as much as they need the mom, but society don't teach men to be directly involved into their children's life like that. And so at the end of the day, it's like everything is her fault. But now women have the right and a choice. But like, I don't want to be a mama. Fuck these kids. I'm out. And she gets named everything but a child of God. But when it comes to men, do this all the time, and they get called deadbeats. Dudes flip a fucking fool. Okay.
Yeah. What's funny to me is, like, now that I'm so, you know, gender fluid, yeah, I feel like I could speak on this, you know. I just think that I spill my gender fluid all over the place. I'll just tell y'all like that. I just think that we do a lot to tell women that everything is their fault in the marriage if it doesn't work.
Everything.
For men, we normally only get it if we're not a good provider.
Right.
Like, so it's like, oh, you didn't take care of your shit. Well, you failed at your job as a man because you didn't bring money into it. But then we don't talk about the emotions you're supposed to bring into it, the time you're supposed to bring into it.
That doesn't matter.
You know, yeah, cooperation, listening, more than just, honesty, faithfulness, commitment, you know. So it's like a guy like Steve Harvey's going to always get a pass, and a guy like a lady like Holly Berry is going to always be considered, you know, symbolically some other shit. But keep in mind, all of this is still the culture of celebrity, and most of this is just from people just putting their own hangups on celebrity icons, basically. Like,
correct,
you know, like the problems with my baby daddy are represented by this Halle Berry shit, or the reason that my relationships fail, it's got to be similar to Halle Berry's relationships failing. It's like, we don't know these people.
Mm-mm.
You know what you like. Maybe David, like, that's why I don't understand why anybody got mad about David Justice, because it's like, maybe he's telling the truth. I don't fucking know, because I don't know Halle Berry. I don't know either of them.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? So, you know, people go, she just can't pick a man. Maybe. I don't know. The men went on with other women and seemed to be okay, so maybe it wasn't that. You know, like, maybe just bad matches. Maybe, you know, she just hadn't found the right person that could, you know, deal with all the stuff that comes with being with a woman like Halle Berry, because, one, she's one of the most attractive women on the planet, voted every year.
Right.
She's constantly working. So, you know, there's like a lot of juggling balls when you come to these relationship things. So, you know, my advice is just to not really try to psychoanalyze people from afar, because you just don't fucking know with this kind of shit. It's just not enough evidence, honestly. So it says, it's apparent that Holly isn't a until death do us part person, so why can't it be that she just doesn't want these men anymore? Before I got married, yeah, I also don't know who filed for what divorce. I know Eric Benet was just cheating on her, so
right,
I don't know. Like, he went to sex rehab afterwards. Before I got married, the longest relationship I was in was 364 days, been with my hubby a little over 6 years. Well, maybe before 364, maybe he must have forgot the anniversary and then y'all broke up.
He was like, nope,
boy. Sounds pretty circumspect. Circumspect, I don't know if that's the right way. Sounds pretty suspect, let's just say that. Folks should separate that I couldn't keep a man, but the truth is, the truth was that when I recognized stuff I didn't want to deal with, I bounced. I wasn't going through crap to just be in a relationship. I'm not mad at Holly. I'm not mad at Holly. And for every woman, their boo is a knight in shining armor until it goes wrong. Well, that's true.
Right, yeah. Right. On both sides, it's funny how, you know, everybody's lovey-dovey, but the second people, you know, separate and divorce, that become the worst person ever. Yeah, the worst person ever you were just having sex with. And people don't want to admit, men and women aside, people are hurt when you get a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And to cover it up, people make jokes and act like that person wouldn't shit. If they ain't shit now, they wouldn't shit when you were sleeping with them too? Or does the circumstances, because y'all get divorced, causes you to feel like this?
Yeah, men and women do that.
Right.
So, yeah, David Justice, listen, if you can be understanding of Halle Berry's, like, fuck these niggas, I'm out, I'm just tired of they shit, you gotta, like, you can also be understanding of David Justice's, fuck my ex. Like, let me kick her while she's down. Come on. I've seen y'all's petty in the Facebook. I've seen it.
And it's strong.
It's strong. The petty is strong with y'all. Stop. Anyway, great show as always. Shayna says, hi Rod and Karen. Thank you so much for your recast of The Walking Dead and Fear of The Walking Dead. I've honestly never seen a full episode of either show because of the way my fear factor is set up, but I eagerly await each recap episode as it allows me to vividly visualize each character and situation. I can truly say that I feel that your narrations have given my visualizations, made my visualizations even more entertaining.
You ain't the only one, sweetie.
I would like to comment on the topic discussed on last week's recap show. As you discussed the brutalization of the young lady in the Spring Valley ordeal, you touched on how we as black people have been predisposed to believe that laying hands on our children is the ideal means of promoting proper behavior. This reminded me of a conversation that I recently witnessed between my mother and her siblings. They often regale on the times that my grandfather basically abused them if they didn't fit the mold or of his perspective, and on how they feel this contributed to their prominent status in the community. No, they didn't. They don't commiserate on the abuse, but praise it. I have never subscribed to this, which is something that some family members don't understand. I mean, I got my ass whooped, and I wasn't a problem child by any notion. I was an honor student, extremely active in school and community, and never rebelled in any manner, but I had an opinion which in their minds warranted punishment.
Right.
My daughters are exactly the same, and I'm raising them to be respectful, respected, and to have minds to discern, and I will never punish them for this. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think this goes both ways. On the one hand, and it's not just a black thing, I do want to clarify, although I think the roots of of how, why things are like this for black people are slightly different in America, obviously, because of slavery. And we never get to own our bodies. Even as adults, you don't get to own your body. Until, you know, 1960 something. And even after then, that's in quotes, right? Because they slamming kids on the ground and motherfuckers on Facebook arguing why that's okay. So I will say this. I do feel that is definitely a holdover from slavery, and also just the way we treat children in general. White people beat the fuck out of their kids as well, especially depending on the area of the country.
Yes, they do.
And you know, and I don't think that it's right either, you know.
I've seen that firsthand, and it ain't no joke.
That being said, people commiserating, or not commiserating, people finding commonality in the experiences that bonded them, whether you approve or disapprove of those experiences and the way they shaped those people's lives, those are valid to those people. Now, I'm not saying that it's, that they makes the actions okay, but there's an understanding there, that, you know, you're raised by flawed individuals, especially once you become an adult. I think you can understand more that, okay, my parents weren't perfect, or my parents had flaws that they learned from their parents and their parents got from somebody else. And each time it gets handed down, it gets a little lighter, a little more progressive, until eventually, you know, things change and you're not doing that stuff. I think I watched a documentary once, and I don't know the name of it, I'm sorry, but about children's discipline throughout the years, throughout, you know, mankind's time. And just in, like, not even that long ago, like the 1900s, they used to hit kids with metal, like, brushes.
Shit.
And they had certain spiky paddles and shit that were designed for punishing your kids, and it wasn't considered a punishment until it drew blood. And yeah, and this was not uncommon. Like, they sold these items for disciplining your kid. And this is a time when, you know, like, you could die from an infection and shit, and they were still like, yep, gotta beat the fucking skin off my kid. And it wasn't a black thing, it was, you know, white kids and shit like that. Yeah, although I'm sure they use those same tools on the people they own and shit,
of course.
But what I found interesting about it was that the things that we find to be abuse now was discipline then. And I think that is going to always continue until we get to a point where we treat children as, you know, valued members of society that will eventually grow up into human beings, fully fleshed and formed.
And not property.
And not property. And that's a lot of unprogramming that has to happen. So until then, you will, you know, you will have the gallows humor of, remember when grandma whooped us because we did something bad, and you kind of laugh it off, you know. And, you know, to some extent you will give credit to it, because you're gonna be like, that's the things that, that's the discipline that got me from doing some even worse shit. And if it's true, it's true. You might resent that it's true, but you can't deprive that person's experience. So if they are telling you, which happens a lot because people get so opinionated about discipline and how it should happen.
Right.
If someone's telling you, yo, I would not have been the same kid if I didn't get whooped, or this whooping kept me from going down so-and-so's house, and later on that night someone got shot down there, so maybe that whooping saved my life. If that's how they feel, I don't know how anyone can tell them different.
True.
Because it's their life. You know what I'm saying? That being said, I don't think people should hit their kids. And I definitely don't think, if you are hitting your kids, it's not my business, and it shouldn't be on the internet. Like, I'm not even saying it on a legal basis. I know it's legal in most states, and, you know, the fine line between that and abuse, y'all gonna have to figure out in your own jurisdiction. But I'm just saying, I'm not here to say the blanket, you don't know how to raise your kids, or you're terrible, or you're this, or whatnot. I'm not here to say that. I just think we should examine the roots of it, why you think you need to do it to raise your kid, and why would you want to continue that. You know what I mean? That's how I would look at it. I don't have kids, so hey, I don't fucking know. Maybe it's so fucking exhausting and terrifying and shit that you will just break down and snatch your kid up from time to time. And I just don't know, because I don't got kids. So if you want to erase my opinion, like, hey, fuck him, I don't, you don't know what you're talking about, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, if I had a kid, I would not hit that kid. Like, it's just got to be another way. It feels like a shortcut. It feels like a mean thing. It feels like you're trying to scare them into acting right. And, you know, and maybe there are certain situations where it does apply, or it's just so fucking brutal. But I've just seen throughout my lifetime, kids that, you know, I felt just got done wrong. You know,
yeah.
Like, I've seen toddlers get hit. I've seen, I had a friend, Eric, that got, he used to get beat with extension cords.
I have before.
Mm-hmm. Right. So to me, I was like, those things are fucked up. That's abusive. To them, that, to him, that's discipline. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like, to, so how, it's like, now people want to blame the person that had this done to them for not understanding what discipline is supposed to be for a child, in their opinion. And it's like, well, those things shape those people. I don't know how to tell you. And then on the books, it's legal, so we don't even have like this defining line where we're like, oh no, what happened to you was abuse, it was illegal and it shouldn't happen, so now you can't, now you know better, don't go do that to your kids. Some states are just like, no, that's about right. Oh, what, she beat you with a Hot Wheels track? Yep. Well, nothing wrong with that. So it's like, I don't know what to tell people. Like, you know, I got whoopings growing up, and you know, me personally, I laugh about the shit now because I'm an adult.
Right.
You know, I do reflect back on that shit, and sometimes I will have that conversation about like, oh my God, that whooping saved my life. And I'm okay with that. But at the same time, I wouldn't hit a kid. I would not hit my kid. If I had a kid, I would not hit that kid. So I don't know. I think everybody's trying to be the best them, pushing their kids forward, and what that looks like is different for everybody, you know. And I hope we do get to a point where people aren't feeling like they gotta lay hands on their kids, because it feels archaic to me. Like, it doesn't feel right. And you know, I see my niece, I don't see somebody where I'm like, you know, she need to be whooped today, you know. Mm-mm. So I just don't know. I think when you have a healthy family environment and a healthy positive people around a kid, I don't think you necessarily have to resort to that shit, you know. And like I said, and I, that's not me, you know, that's not me judging anybody. That's just my highest hope for humanity. Karen, do you want to say anything before I move on? Or?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I would like to thank you for your thought, provoking thought on this matter, and how we have subliminally been programmed to think that the only means to discipline our children is to beat them into submission. Yeah, man. I mean, look, you have to examine the roots, because when you see people talk about it and the extent they're willing to go, it's scary as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
When someone sees a kid, a girl get slammed by a police officer, and their first response is, I would destroy my daughter if she was acting disrespectfully like that. Like, you're in a whole nother world, man.
Yes, you are.
Like, and you have a daughter, possibly. Like, or you will one day. That's scary to me. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. It just feels like some shit we need to deprogram ourselves from. We need to discuss this in this day and time. And once again, you guys brought this point home. Anywho, thank you for continuing to provide your listeners with thought provoking topics. I'll be going premium in January. Can't wait to be delighted by even more quality content. Shayna, well, tune in to our spinoff show, Whoopings We Got. It's gonna be it's gonna be about whoopings every week. We're gonna be we're going to be partying and talking about how great they were.
Mm-mm.
I remember this one, whooping. Woo! It was so good.
You joking, but shit, that probably actually really be a show.
It really could be a show. that would be the most problematic show on iTunes.
Right.
Yeah, I should yanked off.
Right. All the politically correct academic black folks would be like, get that bullshit out of here, sir.
What?
They were protest our asses.
I remember one time I was talking to my mama. I said, bitch. Next thing you know, I woke up. It was Tuesday. Well, right. This has been another episode of Whoopings We Got.
Ain't that the truth? Well, I don't know what happened to the 3 days. I don't know.
Yeah. The other thing too is my main thing is I just want people to stop parenting for the internet.
Right.
I personally don't, I think raising a human being is must be such a difficult task.
Yeah.
That you don't need my judgment.
Mm-mm.
You don't need my likes and you don't need my retweets.
Nope, because I don't know the relationship between you and that child.
And nobody likes to see a kid get disciplined. It doesn't even matter what the discipline is.
Nope.
You know, like I saw a picture where a person took a picture of their baby and she was like, I don't hit my kids, blah, 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 blah. She kept acting up, so I made her dress in this orange onesie and sleep on this little small mattress in the living room away from the rest of the family. And she had to she could only get water and cereal for food. She wanna act like she going to jail, I'm gonna show her jail. And people was like mad about that. And I was like, you know what? That's cause y'all shouldn't have put it on the internet. It ain't for us.
No, it's not for us.
Okay, you came up with a new way to discipline kids. Good for you, buddy. Good for your kids. But you know somebody gonna be like, oh, this is terrible. Sending a little black boy to prison already. Getting him ready for the prison industrial complex.
Right.
Like, it's no way to win.
Mm-mm.
You didn't hit your kid. You didn't, but you see a kid crying, holding an orange onesie with a number on the front. It's like, yeah, that gives me as an adult all kinds of negative imagery. I don't need to be involved, dog.
I sure don't.
You know, it might teach them a lesson anyway. Like, maybe that is the lesson that says it, like, that makes them go, I don't want to go to prison. This is prison. At 5, they go, this is prison? Fuck this. This ain't cool. And people were already like, you getting that boy ready to go to prison. I was like, see? You know the women that cut that fuck up the kids' haircuts?
Mm-hmm.
Make them go to school? People don't like that. Nobody likes anything.
Nope.
You could probably tweet out a picture like, I told my kid to go to his room because I don't like somebody gonna be like, you know, sending kids to that room really hurts their social skills and it teaches them that isolation is the real problem. And you're like, I don't know. Yeah,
you have to have some form of discipline. Like, you have to have rules and regulations for children. You can't just let children run wild. But, you know, for some people, they was like, just no discipline. Well, then if it is no discipline, you still hold parents accountable for their children's actions.
I just recognize it's an extremely difficult task.
It is.
I'm perfectly fine not being involved in any of the shit. So.
Right. That's one reason why I opted not to have children, because it's a lot of work. Kudos to the parents, because y'all have a hell of a job.
Yeah. All right. Last email. Tim writes in, Northwest Oklahoma representing. Dear Sister Karen and Brother Rod, it's Black Gaytheist Pallet here. And I am almost embarrassed to be writing y'all concerning my adopted state of Oklahoma. I live in Enid, Oklahoma, a small town of 60,000 people. Lahoma, where the KKK incident, as the white people here are calling it, happened, is just 10 miles west of here.
Wow.
My roommate, who's white, actually knows most of the people involved. Oh shit.
You better be looking at him hard.
The sad thing is that while most of the white residents agree that it's fucked up, very few of them are willing to take the extra step and see that it was obviously racist. Of
right.
course not. Our local paper, the paper Rod that you got the story from, had to have an editorial telling people that it wasn't just in bad taste or inappropriate or bad judgment, it was offensively racist. Oh, and Holtzclaw, the Oklahoma City officer who sexually assaulted all those black women, he's from Enid. God damn.
Ooh, baby.
Is that the town Buffy was fighting shit in?
Right! You sure y'all ain't got no demon layer up underneath your whole city?
Y'all got the hell mouth over there?
Right.
In fact, his family is a well-to-do upper middle class family here in town. His brother is a local police officer, and his family has been leading a social media blitz here for months, digging up stuff on the women to convince the public that he's innocent and that they are all conspiring against him. Oh.
Wow!
The Hotep Cosby defense. He was even allowed to be in Enid for house arrest, but twice broke his house arrest and they finally made him go back to jail. Racism runs deep here in Oklahoma. I was called a nigger by firefighters who responded to a hit and run multi-car accident I was a victim of because they thought I was the guy who ran off, even though I was the one that called 911 and my black ass provided first aid to a pregnant woman in the other vehicles.
Wow!
The only air bombing of an American city by only air bombing of an American city by other Americans happened Easter here in Tulsa, where North Tulsa was firebombed by whites seeking revenge against a black dude who bumped into a white girl in the 1920s. The people here try to act like all that stuff is in the past, but it's still here front and center, ironically, right here in the state that whites told the Native Americans they could have for themselves. Oklahoma. Only to turn around and take most of it right back. Sorry for the rant. My blood is boiling. I might have to go meme mug some random old phase today. I can't wait for the feedback show, and I hope y'all have a great weekend.
You too, baby. And be safe out there in goddamn Oklahoma.
I'm going Dave and Buster's today, and I'm going to be looking at some old phase in their face today.
Oh, Lord.
Whooping their ass in some soul cow. all right, man, we'll be back tomorrow, just me and Karen, I believe, and we'll be talking about all kinds of wackadoo stuff. Mm-hmm. We appreciate everybody that left feedback. Don't forget, if you're listening to this and you want to leave feedback next week's your opportunities. Okay, guys, we'd love to hear from some more people. And if you want to leave us voicemails about how I'm so gender fluid and I'm hurting masculinity because I'm so powerful and me and Mike Brown ain't shit, make sure you listen to our new voicemail message on the way out, because I think it's important.
6, 7, 8. Are you pressed? Are you mad? Are you upset? Are you sad?
Come here, baby. Let me give you a hug, because you act like nobody shows you love. Get out your feelings, hoe. Get out your feelings, hoe. You say complaining, you say whining, you say whining, hoe. What you need? A pat on the back, bitch. Or do you need some candy out of the package?
Cause you always
and you got them feelings.
And that shit be straight.
That's right, guys. All right, until tomorrow. I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah. Mwah. You know what? One more time.
6, 7, 8. Are you pressed? Are you mad? Are you upset? Are you sad? Come here, baby. Let me give you a hug.
Cause you act like nobody show you love, Mike. Get out your feelings. Get out your feelings, Mike.
You stay complaining. You stay crying. You stay whining, Mike.
What you need? A pat on the back, bitch. Or do you need some candy in a package? Cause you always in your got the feelings.
And that shit be straight.